If you'd like to support this ministry, you'll find information at the end of this podcast. Now, this is the fifth part of the testimony that we want to explain. What I want to talk about is about how you can move from speaking in tongues up and up into ministry. All ministries, all power ministries, all ministries that have walked in healings, in great teaching, all of those ones have started off their ministry by praying in tongues. I've studied all of the major great moves of God, great men of God, and most of them mentioned that they started their ministry by praying in tongues, that it supercharged their ministry. And so I understand that it's not going to change. It's always going to be the same. So if you look in the Bible, you must be able to find something that would express that concept. And I found in 1 Corinthians chapter 12, this is pretty interesting. But if you'll just consider these scriptures and meditate on them, it says in 1 Corinthians chapter 12 verse 28, "And God has set some in the church, first apostles, secondary prophets, thirdly teachers, after that miracles, then gifts of healing, helps, governments, and the last one is diversity of tongues." So there's eight operations. And the eighth operation is diversity of tongues, different types of tongues. So God has set in the church first apostles, secondary prophets, third teachers, after that miracles, then gifts of healing, helps, governments, diversity of tongues. So diversity of tongues is the eighth operation. Governments is the seventh operation. So then in 1 Corinthians 12:29, he repeats it again and he explains it a little more. He says, Are all apostles? Are all prophets? Are all teachers? Are all workers of miracles? Have all the gifts of healings? And he misses out the sixth and seventh, but he goes straight to the eighth. Do all speak with tongues? Do all interpret? So that's what he's telling us. Diversity of tongues is basically four different types of speaking in tongues. There's speaking tongues for edification. There's speaking in tongues for interpretation. There's speaking in tongues for intercession. And there's also, I don't know how to classify that one, the fourth one, but it happened in Acts chapter 2 when they started hearing them speaking in their own languages, speaking about the marvelous works of God. And I've heard of people who have got on stage and they've been preaching away, and all of a sudden they started speaking in tongues for a couple of minutes, and then they went back to their preaching, and they thought that was strange. But someone in the audience heard them speak in their own language to them about God, and that is something that would convict someone. You know, if you're a Hungarian and you're in a normal Australian audience, and a preacher starts speaking in Hungarian, and you know he can't speak Hungarian, and he's speaking directly to you, I think you would stand up and listen. I think it would catch your attention. It would open your heart up. God would speak directly to you, and he would show you there's a miracle in your midst, and that he's actually speaking to you. So that's that type of tongue, and I really don't know how to express that. I don't have a classification for that. I don't know what to say about that. But diversity of tongues is basically four. And the one that Paul's speaking about here, he says, do all speak with tongues, do all interpret. So he's talking about tongues for interpretation. So what are tongues for interpretation? You speak in tongues. For edification, you build yourself up, right? And then all of a sudden, maybe your tongue might change, and then you will get an interpretation of that. So there's something God wants to speak to you. So what is it? You're sitting down, you're praying in tongues, and God eventually speaks to you through the Spirit, things for you. If you're in a group and you speak in tongues and then you speak tongues for interpretation, then that's for the group. But if you're praying on your own and God gives you a word personally, what is that word going to be? It's going to be about you. It's going to be about His work in you. It's going to be about your calling. It's going to be about what God wants to walk out in you. So you'd think that the eighth operation is something that you would sit down and then you would learn about yourself and what God wants to call you into. And then as you started maturing in the Lord, He would move you up the operation, move you up to, teacher, prophet, maybe even, you might even be an apostle. Who knows, depending on how far God wants you to go. But there's eight operations there, and the eighth operation is a legitimate ministry, the ministry of speaking in tongues. And what is that ministry? To yourself. That ministry is for you. And it can be to a group of people, but predominantly it's for yourself. You know, in 1 Corinthians chapter 12, verse 10, it says, to another the working of miracles. These are all about the gifts, the spiritual gifts, the nine gifts. It says, to another the working of miracles, to another prophecy, to another discerning of spirits, to another diverse kinds of tongues. Okay, to another interpretation of tongues. That's the interpretation of diversity of tongues. Okay, so a group of people could be praying in tongues, and I've noticed this a lot, but when I'm around people who pray in tongues for long periods of time, all of a sudden their tongue changes, and then they give an interpretation, or they have a prophetic utterance. They give an interpretation. Another person might get the interpretation for that tongue. And it's always different. So a person will be speaking in tongues. You'll hear what they say. You know the sound of their tongue. They might sound, I don't know, like Swahili or Hungarian or whatever, or German or some Middle Eastern thing or whatever. And all of a sudden it just changes. It's different. And then all of a sudden somebody gets an interpretation. So it is different. It's not the same language. So when I'm praying in tongues, I speak in different types of tongues. And I have different dialects, and they have different attributes to them. It's pretty interesting. So all you have to do is sit down, pray in tongues, build yourself up on your most holy faith. And then you can move yourself up. Now, you can do it another way. You can do it by man. So you go to university, get a degree. You learn about pastoral stuff. And you might learn about healing and miracles. And you've never laid hands on anybody. You've got your degree, but you really know all the scriptures. And you've studied all of the bits and pieces about healing and miracles. But you can't do it yourself. You only got a piece of paper that says that you know about it. That's really doesn't really cut it with me. You know, you can go to university and have a whole lot of degrees, but you can't do anything. You might have a whole lot of degrees on teaching, but you're not speaking under the anointing of the Holy Spirit. That's no good. You know, I say to people sometimes, they say, well, I've been to university and I've got these degrees, religious degrees. And I say, well, I just sit down and pray in tongues. I get full of God and I lay my hands on people and their lives change. Can you do that? They can't. And it's usually the arrogant that want to bring those things up like that. It's the ones that are puffed up in their pride and think that people would or God would have respect for their degrees. No, he's got respect for those who would humble themselves and sit at the feet of Jesus and be taught by the Holy Spirit. That's the way Christianity works. Jesus had a lot of trouble with Pharisees. He had a lot of trouble with religious people. Jesus is the least religious person that ever existed. He does not like religion. Religion is powerless Christianity. Okay, so, you know, I had this guy, he met me at a church once. I went to this church and it was really noisy and lots of smoke machines floating, puffing out all this smoky stuff, and that's supposed to emulate the glory of God, which I think's fake because that's not the glory of God. I know the glory of God, and it's not caused by a smoke machine, okay, and flashing lights. So I was in the church meeting, and I thought, oh, this is hopeless. So I left halfway through. And as I was going down the steps, the Holy Spirit said to me, no, I want you to go back in there. I've got something for you. So I went, okay, I turned around, went back into the foyer, and I sat in the foyer, and I just sat there for maybe 5 minutes, not even that, 4 minutes. And this guy comes up to me, this great big Maori guy from New Zealand, and he was 6 foot and 4 foot across. He was a really big guy. And he said to me, hey, bro, how you going? I said, g'day. He said, so what are you doing? I said, oh, I'm just sitting here. I'm just waiting on God. And he goes, what? I said, yeah. I said, God told me to come and sit here and wait. And he said, yeah. And I said, yeah. He says, what do you do? And I said, well, I just sit down, I pray in tongues, and I just get full of God, and I lay my hands on people, and their whole lives change through the power of the Holy Spirit. And he looked at me, and he said, he just stared at me, and he said, have you got a wife and a little dog? And I went, yes. And he says, do you walk down the main street? I said, yes. He goes, you're the one. He said, you're the one. And I went, what are you talking about? I'm the one. He said, no, man, you're the one. You're the one I've been looking for. And I went, well, that's nice. And I started thinking, okay, I know, Lord, here we go. I said, so what's going down? And he said that day he got up that morning and he was praying to the Lord. And he said, Lord, I'm tired of being just nothing in the church. I'm tired of just nothing happening. I'm tired of just wishy-washy nothing. And he said, I prayed to the Lord that he would see miracles, that he would see something happen in his life when it comes to God. So he prayed that prayer that morning, and he was down the main street, and he had his Bible, and he's sitting outside a barber shop. And he's reading his Bible, and this lady came out. She said to him, do you want your hair cut? And he said, no, I'm just reading my Bible. And she said, oh, you're a Christian? And he said, yes. And then she said, do you know Tom and Donna? And he said, I don't know who they are. So they've got a little dog, and they walk their little dog every day. And I cut Tom's hair. And he prayed for me, and he prayed for my mother. And my mother got really touched by God. Now, these people got tattoos all over them. This girl who works in the barbershop had tattoos all over her. And I prayed for her in the barbershop, and the presence of God came over her massively. And her mum, I prayed for her mother, and her mother started crying. Anyway, she told him that story. And he said, well, where can I find them? And she said, well, I don't know. So he goes to the Lord. He says, Lord, I need to find this guy. And so I'm sitting in the foyer, and that's when he looks at me and says, you're the one. So I said, oh, okay. So I got his number, and I said, look, I'll come around and see you in a little while. And he says, okay, gives me his number. And I went home, and a couple of days later, I rang him up and arranged to go around to his house. So I get there about 2 p.m. in the afternoon, and he's sitting on the lounge, and we're talking. It's a big lounge, and I'm talking to him. And I'm telling him basically what I do, and he's getting excited. He said, that's amazing. I was probably only there for maybe 5 minutes. And I said to him, have you ever felt the glory of God? And he goes, not really. And I said, well, it feels like this. It's sort of like hot and feels electricity. It feels heavy. It's very difficult. It comes in many different flavors. And he goes, I don't know. He says, but I feel something on me now. And I said, That's the glory of God. And he said, it's getting stronger and stronger. And I said, well, just go with it. And within about, I don't know, maybe 15, 20 seconds, he just went out to it. He just melted away into nothing. He just fell down on the lounge and went into a deep something. And I just looked at him and I got up and I said, look, don't worry about it, mate. Just stay there. And I just put my hand on him and prayed over him, prayed that he would get a greater revelation of Jesus Christ and that that his life would change and all of these things. And then I left him and I went home. And he's still moaning, just laying on the lounge going, just out to it sort of thing. And anyway, so I rang him up about 4 days later and he says he's been walking around in that whack state, that heavy presence, staggering around the house for 3 days, and he could hardly stand up. He could hardly put his clothes on. He could hardly have a shower. He was so taken back by the presence of God. It so arrested him for 3 days. And you know, when he came out of that glory, he was different. He just knew stuff. And I said to him, you got a massive download from God. And he knew stuff. He was amazed. And so we fellowshiped for a couple of months. And he started praying for people in parks. And he started seeing lots of healings. And he just went off and prayed in tongues for a couple of hours every day. And his life totally changed. Now he's helping out in ministry. So that's what God did for him. And matter of fact, he invited me to a group with some guys. They're just like a men's group. And he said, why don't you come along to this men's group? It's just a bunch of us. We're all Christians. And we're just sit down on Tuesday night. We look at the Bible and we just talk to each other and try to support each other and all this stuff and everything. It's something like a men's shed in a church without the shed. And so I said, yeah, I'll come along. So I turned up on I think it was a Tuesday night. And anyways, it's at a house. It's just a private get-together. It wasn't a church thing. It was a private get-together of a bunch of about 30 guys. And they just all supported each other. And they had tea and coffee and biscuits and cake and talked about God and whatever else. And just support each other in their life experiences. So, you know, I turned up and one of the guys, before we started, he said, so what do you do? I said, well, I'm a Christian. I'm in full-time ministry. I lay hands on people and they get filled with the Holy Spirit. And they speak in tongues and their whole life changes. And he says, I'd love that to happen to me. I said, well, I'll pray for you later if you want. Anyway, we started the meeting and there was two guys there that decided to take the floor and explain things and said, we're going to pray for each other tonight, and we're just going to just pray and just seek God and see if he's got something greater for us. Maybe you might even receive the Holy Spirit. This would come out of their mouth. I was amazed. I said, I just happened to be at the right place at the right time nearly every time. So anyway, he said, we'll just grab two groups, get together. Anyway, all of a sudden this guy came over to me. He said, will you pray for me and to receive the Holy Spirit? I said, okay. So I put my hand on him, started praying over him, and bang, he started speaking in tongues. And then while he was praying in tongues, another guy came over and said, can I have that? I said, yes. Prayed for him. And then another guy. And we had I had six guys in a little circle. And I'm praying for them, going to the next one, praying for the next one, praying. And they're all praying in tongues. And I'm going around and keep praying for them and everything. And they received the Holy Spirit that night. They spoke in tongues. It was amazing. Anyway, then I went to another five of the other guys in the other group. And I spoke to them. And I said, do you speak in tongues? And some of them said, yeah, I speak a little bit, very much, not very much at all. And I said, well, can I pray for you? And I just started praying for them, and the power of God came over them, and they started speaking in tongues. It flowed like a river out of them. And these guys were amazed. And so They invited me around to their houses and meet their wives. And Donna and I went around to their houses. We met their wives, met their families. We started praying for their wives. Their wives got filled with the Holy Spirit. We baptized them in pools and in bathtubs, oversized bathtubs. Baptized some of their family, their kids, their older kids got filled with the Holy Spirit. We prayed for them. Anyway, this went on for about 2 weeks. And I went back to the little men's group on a Tuesday night, and two of the major guys pulled me aside and said, "Listen, we've got a bit of a problem." I said, "What?" And he said, "We don't want this happening here. This is a friendship club. This is for us to talk about God and to become friends." I said, "Yeah, but you've got a move of God happening. You've got people getting filled with the Holy Spirit. You've got like a semi-revival happening here." And they said, "We don't want this. We want just friendship. That's all we want. We don't want the Holy Spirit here in this midst." And I said to them, "You guys are crazy." You know, I just said, "Well, anyway." So some of them, I met with them outside, and I prayed for them, and I said, "Look, I've got to go, mate. I can't be a part of this group because you guys, you know, your head guys just want to be friends. They don't want to walk in the things of God." And so I just left that, and I still kept in contact with some of them, and you know, prayed for some of their friends and all that, but I never was part of the group again. And that happens a lot. A lot of people, they talk about God, they want to join together and read the Bible and get more deeper into God, but when the Holy Spirit turns up, they don't want it. It really amazes me that they don't want the authentic move of God. They want some synthetic thing. They want some man-made thing. You know, when the Holy Spirit turns up, he can fix men of sin, and they don't like that. They'd rather pretend that they're really holy and righteous in the things of God, but yet they're not striking the mark. They're not hitting the target. As soon as the Holy Spirit turns up and starts showing people the right way into the things of the kingdom of God, some of them don't like it. They want their wishy-washy, don't do anything religion. And they don't have to make a decision for everything. They don't have to pick up their cross daily and walk with Jesus. They don't have to lay their life down. They don't have to, Jesus said, "He who loves his life will lose it. And he who loses his life will receive it back again." Okay? They don't want to do that. They want to keep their broken life. And that amazes me. But what it has shown me, I've asked the Lord a lot about this. And he said to me, "Men like darkness more than light. They pretend to be religious. They pretend to love God. But when they're really pressed up against the wall by the kingdom of God, when they're put on the spot, they show their true colors. And it's only until the kingdom of God truly shows up is when you truly know who's who in the zoo. You really know who's really want to follow God and who is just waffling, making words." And the Bible says again, it says, "They have a form of godliness, but they deny the power. From such, turn away." Run away from those people, because they're just religious hypocrites. Unfortunately, people just... They get caught up in what they think is a move of God by praying and praying and seeking God. But when the Holy Spirit turns up to do the stuff, to answer the prayer, they kick him out. That's just stupid, beyond stupid. Do you know, about 6 years ago, I'm living in a caravan park in a bus with Donna, and we were going to travel around Australia and preach the gospel. And so... I'm out at the shop, and I ride my motorbike into the caravan park. And as I'm riding into the caravan park, there's two young guys just at the entrance, and they're talking to each other. You know, I'll just put you on the story about. But what had happened is these two guys from New Guinea, and they were Seventh Day Adventists, and they were one was 18, and the other one was 20. And their mother was in a taxi out in the front waiting for the older brother, who's 20, to go back. But the younger brother was brought to the caravan park to pick tomatoes because it was the Christmas season. There was a holiday, and he was in Australia doing college and part of the Seventh-day Adventist thing. And so he said to his mother just before, probably 10 minutes before, he said, I don't want to go to the Seventh-day Adventist Church anymore. I'm over it. There's no, I don't see anything in it. There's just religious stuff. It's just, there's no God. He said, I'm going to go and just be myself and do my own thing. So he wanted to go into the world and just be a worldly person because he couldn't find God in the Seventh-day Adventist Church, and he's just over it. So he told his mum, and his mum was crying and upset, and she's in the taxi, and his older brother is at the front of the caravan park talking to him, telling him how he's hurt his mum and he's upset her and all this stuff, and they're having a little bit of an argument sort of thing. And I ride past, and the Holy Spirit says to me, go back and speak to one of them because he wants to know you, wants to know God. So I just turned my bike around, and I turned around, and I just rode up to him, turned off the bike, put it on the stand, walked over to both of them and said, the Lord's just told me that he wants to bring one of you to the Lord. He said, I said, which one of you? Which one is it? And the older brother looked at me and pointed at him and said, him. Anyway, so he just walked off, the older brother. I didn't know anything about this until they told me later on. So I put my hand on his chest and I started praying over him. And I just prophesied into his life that he would know Jesus and that he would come to be a Christian. And then I said, oh, I'll see you later. So I hopped on my bike and I rode home, and I said to Donna, I said, that was pretty strange. And so the next day I meet him in the caravan park. And he had a sore back from picking tomatoes that day. I prayed for him and he got healed. And he said, that's amazing. I said, yes, come to my bus at 6 o'clock tonight. I'll pray for you and you'll receive the Holy Spirit. You'll speak in tongues and you'll be born again and your life will change. He goes, okay. So he turns up at the bus at 6 o'clock, and he comes in, and I start talking to him about the things of God for about 5 minutes. And I said, okay, well, what we're going to do is Don and I are just going to stand and we're just going to start praying, and the Holy Spirit's going to fill the room and the glory of God's going to fill the room, and then we're going to pray for you and you're going to receive the Holy Spirit and you're going to speak in tongues. And he's sort of looking at me going, okay. So we just started praying away. We had our eyes closed. I said to him, I don't care what you do. You can just stand there, do nothing. I don't really care. And we just lifted our hands and started worshiping God. And about 30 seconds went by. And he sort of yells at, who touched me? And we open our eyes up and he's looking at us and he's looking at his hands and his arms. And he's going, who touched me? And I said, what are you talking about? He says, somebody touched me. What's this all over me? And he had the glory of God all over him. He didn't know what was going on. He said, what's this all over me? What's this stuff? What's his presence? And I looked at him. I said, that's God, mate. And he was like gobsmacked. And I said to him, would you like to receive the Holy Spirit? He goes, yes. So we put our hands on him, prayed over him, and he started speaking in tongues. And then we just stood in a little circle praying in tongues for about 20, 30 minutes. And he is praying away really well, doing well, really great. And the next day I baptized him, and he met his friends from who were with him in college, and told them about us. And we got his friend baptized and filled with the Holy Spirit, and we got them praying and all this stuff and everything. And that's just amazing. I mean, the young fellow was ready to dump his Seventh-day Adventist church. He's over it. Nothing happens. And then God sends me that moment, within that half an hour time frame, and sends me to him to bring him into the kingdom of God. That's amazing. That's what happens with Don and I all the time. And it's just an amazing walk. That's all we do is that. You know, I can stand in amongst a bunch of people and nothing happens because God's not working in the midst. You know, when I've had brothers fly all the way from other states to be with me and say, let's go out and preach the gospel and see miracles. I say, look, I don't do that. They say, let's just go out and do that. I said, look, I don't do that. I just wait on God. And I see more miracles, more healings, more everything than you would ever see if you go out every day. And they're more intense. They're more real. And you know, so it's you know, people think that God will love them if they go out and witness to everybody and everything that moves. Really, God wants them to be obedient to his leading. God wants to partner with them. He wants them to be full of him. And then when he needs to call them to do something, they'll do it. You don't have to initiate something so much as be full of God and let him work with you. And he'll pick the people he wants you to speak into their lives. And when you do, the power of God will turn up and their life will change. And that's the way it works for me now. I've knocked on thousands of doors with pamphlets, going around with people and knocking on the door and saying, "Hi, how you going? My name's Tom. I'm a Christian. Would you like to know about Jesus?" And I'd hand them a pamphlet and tell them about coming to a church meeting and, you know, what God could change their life. And, you know, not many people came along. Okay, a few people, but, you know, we'd be out in the street. For 7 years I did that on the street, on Saturday, with guitars, singing Christian songs, handing out pamphlets, or going to a maybe a market, putting up a stall, putting little banners around, you know, "Jesus is Lord," and "You can be born again, you can have a new life in Jesus," and standing there handing out pamphlets to people who don't want to know. They don't care. They don't want to join a church where nothing happens. They'd rather join a club and do something else that's exciting. They don't want to be a part of a church just for the sake of being a part of a church. If God turned up and great power happened and their lives changed and the miracles started happening and started getting healed and they started getting full of joy and happiness, authentic joy and happiness, Holy Ghost joy and happiness, not man-made joy and happiness, I mean, that motivates them big time to stick around. It motivates them big time to go forward. And they know this is a move of God, not a move of man. See, there are a lot of churches that are sitting around praying for a move of God. And they really want that move of God. But some of them, when they get it, they jump around for joy. They're happy as anything. And some of them, they don't want it. They pray for it, but when they get it, or if they ever get it, they reject it because it's not what they want. And a lot of people are praying for a move of God and they're doing the wrong things. They just get together and they pray and they say to God, "We want this, we want this, we want this." You know, it would be much more beneficial if you actually got together and prayed and said, "God, what do you want to do in our midst? And how can we work with you in that thing, in what you want to do? What do you want to do? And how do you want to do it? And how can we position ourselves so that we can partner with you and do that?" That would work much faster than you trying to dictate terms of agreement with God. He just doesn't always operate like that. So, we'll just leave it there. So if you'd like to help us out at Clear Vision Revival, just go to the bottom of the page and click on support. It'd be greatly appreciated.